Love this podcast? Support this show through the Acast Supporter feature. It's up to you how much you give and there's no regular commitment. Just hit the link in the show description to support now.
In the market for investment-worthy bags, watches, and fine jewelry, Rebag is the answer. Rebag is a luxury resale platform where each piece is carefully inspected by experts to ensure quality and authenticity. Use Rebag to buy and sell finds from the world's top brands, including Louis Vuitton, Chanel, and Cartier. Head to Rebag.com to get 5% off your first purchase with code REBAGNEW. Shop today at Rebag.com. That's REBAG.com. And use promo code REBAGNEW for 5% off your first purchase.
And welcome to episode 403 of Geek Town Radio. I'm your host, Dave, and I'm back this week with... Gray, how are you doing?
Hello, I'm good, thank you, Dave.
Good. It's been a few weeks you should be on. What have you been up to? In fact, I think you were on the 400th. That was probably the last thing you were
on. I was on the 400th. And then I went away on a little holiday and a major event in our lives happened.
Yes.
I got proposed to.
Yes, congratulations.
Very overwhelmed with that. So I've been on Geek Town about 5 years now. So I think you've seen me through my entire journey. Out, getting into relationships, and now very happy to be proposed to on holiday in Spain. I was on there for a little break during my half term, so I have been swept up in that, and so I think TV and film have taken a bit of a backseat, but nonetheless I've had a little bit of time to finish a few things, start a few things, and just have a chat about reality TV. I'm probably here like that once every time I need to just have a little chat about reality and what's going on.
Yes.
So what have I finished? So I finished Beckham. Very unlike me to watch a footballing documentary.
I was going to say, that's very out of character.
But it has a Spice Girl in it, so I thought it was very
okay, yeah, fair enough.
No, but actually it was a really interesting commentary on the news and journalism, and those regular listeners, I'm a teacher of media and film, so actually when you're looking at how the news portrays people and agenda setting, it was fascinating. I was watching it and going into school and telling my students to go and watch it in a message to how people can be whipped up by the media frenzy and how it was affecting them personally. Now we can see it from that side. And I remember the kick. I'm sure, Dave, you remember.
Yes.
The Argentina game was massive. Like the imagery that you see in the newspapers and the effect it must have had. And they even say it in the documentary, they didn't have mental health back then. And that's very true. They did, but obviously it was not prevalent as it is today.
No.
But David was on the verge of depression. Like, you know, he had no one to reach out to. And it was a really well put together documentary. Yeah. And I've seen today, I think it was today or late last week, the Robbie Williams one got released. And I'm thinking, should I? I'm not a huge Robbie Williams fan, but it's just a really good documentary series. And I know that he obviously battled his demons through sort of 90s UK as well.
Yeah.
So it got me thinking, I do actually like documentaries. And I hope when we're doing our list later this year, I might be doing Beckham in the older structured reality and documentary list. So it's definitely one to look out for in our lists of the year.
Yeah.
Also finished Ghosts UK. Absolutely stormed through that in about 3 days.
Yes, I did the same thing. There is one Christmas episode coming up, but the main series is finished.
I almost felt a bit sad when I got to the last couple of episodes because I was obviously beside that watching Ghost US, and like I could consume 3 or 4 episodes a day with Ghost US. It took me a bit longer to finish it because there's 22, but Ghost UK, there's just something a little bit more special about it. The performances, the actors, you just feel a little bit more connected to them. So yeah, I finished Ghost UK, a couple of days later finished Ghost US. I think they're really strong series. I do like that Ghost US leave the house and go out and about, and I like the twist. It's not really a spoiler, but they have car ghosts, and I really like that twist. And that was the actress from Superstore. She came back for an episode, a couple of episodes, about being the car ghost, and I thought that was quite fascinating.
Yeah, it's what I like about those series is they have diverged in the sort of same way that the UK and the US Office diverged, in that they've done a really good job in taking the basic premise and expanding that world out, you know, so it isn't just all completely in the house. It's got more ghosts in it, and the storylines are expanded. And I think they've done a wonderful job with the US version. It isn't as sort of homely as the UK version, and that will always have a special place in my heart. But I think people reject the US version because, oh, it's a US remake, but they've actually done a really good job with that US version. Whilst I'm very, very sad to see the UK version go, I'm kind of glad that the US version is still going strong, and I hope it does for a while yet, because I think they've done a really nice job with it.
Exactly, exactly, yeah. Also finished Never Mind the Buzzcocks. I just do love that series.
I love that as well.
I mean, they just, the combination of like Daisy and Greg and Jamali is just so funny, and it shows you something. Like, I remember watching it when it was originally released, and when they do the lineups, I never really used to know the artists or the bands because they were from the 70s or the 80s.
Yeah.
And now they're doing them and they're all from my era. And like, they're all the bands from the late 90s, early noughties, and I'm spotting them straight away.
Because you're getting old. I know the feeling.
Yeah. So I really, really enjoyed that.
It's a great, great show. It doesn't have quite the vicious sting of the original series because Simon Amstel isn't there, but Greg still does a wonderful job.
He does a really good job.
And the lineups, when they're taking the mickey out of the lineup people, are vicious. I mean, they really are. It doesn't, as I say, it's not quite to the level that the original series was, but I think you wouldn't get away with that now.
No,
so I think it's a good balance of sort of old and new, you know, with that. They've done a really great job with it. The stories are great and funny, and
I think there'll be a Christmas one. I'm sure there will be. I know they did one last year, so there'll be a Christmas one. And then let's flip the mood completely. I watched BBC's The Reckoning, and this is obviously the retelling of the Jimmy Savile story from the viewpoint of the victims in particular. And oh my God, this was so dark and so horrendous. The quality was really good. Steve Coogan was really good. I struggle with Steve Coogan sometimes because I know personally he can be a bit abrupt and rude, and you know, there's that element. But his acting in this, it was creepy, and I suppose that was what it was to do. And you know, they worked hard to make sure that the victims were front and center of this, and they were the bookends of each episode. And it's just fascinating. And that's, you know, Charlotte Moore, who is the commissioner for BBC at the moment, she made sure that this was on the BBC, but it was made totally by ITV Studios. So ITV Studios could make sure the story was told without trying to in any way make the BBC out to be innocent in this. It is very clear that there was knowledge of this throughout members of the BBC commissioning and planning and that. So it's very honest, but it is still very dark. Not something to cheer you up, but if you want to see an absolutely amazing performance, then go and see it. It's creepy, and it's interspersed with real life footage as well.
Right.
So there are moments where you see those sort of documentary type footage cut in with Steve Coogan, and it's just a bit, it's a bit eerie. But yeah, I did manage to watch that. Let's get over that.
I haven't caught that yet. It is one I've forgotten that had gone out, but it is one that I do want to go and check out at some point, because obviously I am fully aware of the whole scandal with that. So I am sort of interested to see how it comes across, but it is one I'm building myself up to, you know.
You've got to be in a good place when watching it. I'm going to say that. So other things that I'm currently watching. So I'm one episode left of Breeders. What an amazing season four. I've really enjoyed this, every series they've made, but I think season four, the new Luke, it's just the storylines leading up to, like, obviously I've got one episode left. It's just fantastic. I love where they've gone with this whole series and how they've got there. And the supporting cast is just incredible. The actress who plays his mum is just divine, and she's just so good. And, you know, I'm sad it's over. but it's a really stellar British series that had a bit of a rocky start in season one, had very mixed reviews, but has come out at the end of it looking really, really good. So one episode of that left. Yes. Have you seen that much of that?
I have seen the first couple of seasons, I think, and then I think it came out when I was away for one of the seasons, so I sort of missed it and then forgot to pick it back up again. And it is on my list of things that I need to go and work through when I get a little bit of time, because I really liked the first couple of seasons. I love Daisy Haggard, who is, if you ever follow her on social media as well, she's incredibly funny. And she's a wonderful actress that does a great balance of comedy and drama. She straddles both really, really well. And same with Martin Freeman as well, who plays the dad. It's really, really good. I really do want to go and get back into to that. And the rest of the cast I'm really interested to see as well.
Yeah, so. I recommend it. They do recast, this is not a spoiler, they recast the children every other series because there's a sort of like a time jump. They live in this, they're not really determined the year, but the Luke in the last series I think is just really good. It carries across the character really well. You sort of still remember him from the previous actor, and there's elements that he's brought to the role.
Right.
And I also, finally, they dropped Solar Opposites. I remember being on a podcast about 10 weeks ago and you said Solar Opposites is this week, and I remember looking and I emailed you and went, Dave, what's happened to Solar Opposites?
Yeah.
But finally back. I watched two of them. Are they all up there? I can't remember seeing them now.
Yeah.
So
the entire season is
I'm
there.
I'm sorry, going to pick my way through that. The first bit's so funny with the dart in the throat. And then they explain that even in flashbacks, you're going to hear a British accent because they talked about some sort of their endoscope.
Chrono things or something. So you're going to hear this accent in flashbacks. Deal with it. It's basically what they said. I've loved this season. I'm much further on than you. I'm 8 episodes in, but there is a Wall episode in there. There is a Silver Cops episode in there as well as those bits being scattered across some of the other episodes. The Wall thing is scattered in a few episodes, and then there is specifically a Wall episode. There are bits of Silver Cops as well, which is then has its own episode. It's been great, and Dan Stevens does a wonderful job voicing Corvo. It is unlike Rick and Morty, where they use sound-alikes. This is very much, you know, Dan has come in and taken that role and is doing a wonderful job with it. It fits it so well. It works brilliantly. And it's a great, great series that I'm thoroughly enjoying it. So.
And then my paranoia that I want to make sure I've watched some of the really good series that people are talking about before we start doing our end of year lists. I've done a couple of episodes of Bodies on Netflix and one episode of Upload on Amazon. I still got so much in my to watch list, like Gen V and Invincible and things like that, that I know I need to go and watch. But Bodies was being talked about so much, being targeted, I thought I've got to watch that. Timey-wimey, brain-hurting things in episode one that sort of builds on episode two. So I know I've got to go back and watch those. Upload, I actually struggled with episode one. I found myself watching it and then having to stop, go onto like IMDb and Wikipedia, try and read back up on the previous season because the gap between them has been quite long.
Yeah.
And just try and get my head around it again. So Bodies is a yes, and Upload I'm a little bit unsure about. I mean, I haven't gone back to it in about a week because it wasn't as engaging as I remember the first couple of seasons. So I'm going to have to try and give that another go. Maybe my brain just can't handle too much information.
There is a lot going on with Upload, and it is quite impenetrable. I think if you haven't watched the previous seasons or forgotten where they got to, and I had a few moments like that getting back into it. I am really enjoying this season. They're dropping, I think, 2 episodes a week. It's still been really good for me, but it is a lot, and you do actually end up having to go back and like go, hang on, where did we leave things? What happened? I can't remember.
Exactly. That's pretty much for me. I'm off to see Marvels this Sunday. Cool. Gets released this Friday, so I'm off to see that on Sunday. And other than that, because my brain can't take much at the moment, I've been filling it with a lot of reality stuff. So still ploughing through Drag Race UK, still watching The Bake Off, still watching Taskmaster, and we started Survivor just the weekend gone. I've seen some negative press already about it, saying this BBC has spent loads of money and it's bombed. I kind of like it. I remember the original, and there's no harm in having Joel Dommett in shorts and a vest on the beach telling the contestants what to do. But, you know, it's what it is. It's a mixture of a bit of Shipwrecked, a bit of The Traitors, a bit of The Challenge, if anyone's ever seen that in America. So it's got the elements that you want. And, I'm enjoying it so far. So is my partner. So we're ignoring the haters. It might not get renewed because, you know, they like to axe things if it doesn't get 10 million people on the first season. But, you know, we're all warming up for the return of Traitors season two. So,
I think that is the problem with Survivor is it is a known brand because it is a huge show in America, although I don't think it's as big as it used to be. But it sounds like the UK version hasn't really flown as well as they hoped it would. So we'll see whether it comes back. It's a difficult one, I think, to get off the ground at this point. It's whether you're still flogging a dead horse a bit like Big Brother at this point. I mean, I've seen a lot of people say with the Big Brother revival that they kind of watched it with a sort of car crash kind of interest in the first few episodes and then have had zero interest in it since then. So
my partner said the same. He started it and then it was just, he just lost interest in it. And, you know, we had a lot going on in October anyway, but he just, there was no drive for him to jump back in and watch it. It's not like he wanted, oh, I must catch up with that. He was like, oh, I'll just let it go.
Yeah.
But, you know, Traitors set a big bar in our life for reality TV.
I think that's probably the thing, isn't it? You know, that's new big thing. So
that's pretty much me waiting to hear about all your time at MC Comic Con, Dave, and what else have you been doing?
Yeah, MCM Comic Con was the reason, apologies that there wasn't a show last week. I got back after 3 days of that and was absolutely exhausted and was just, I can't put a show together. I have been editing videos all week as well. There was a panel for Ghosts, which had a lot of the Ghost casts on it, which was great. That was really fun. They were talking about their characters and how the characters were developed. And they were also talking about how much they like their characters. Fanny's facial expressions was one of the things that came up. It was like, did you dial up the facial expressions for the final season? She's like, yeah, I might have gone a little too far.
She has got a fantastic facial expressions. I remember her from Yonderland as well. Really, really good.
Yeah, I mean, Yonderland, Horrible Histories. They did say that they will probably work together again on something. I mean, it was fairly non-committal. I don't think they've got anything particularly like this is going to be our next project. But, they've been working together since Horrible Histories. And I suspect they will carry on working together, but they haven't actually announced what their next thing is going to be. I mean, Ghost is a difficult one to top because, I mean, Horrible Histories was huge. Yonderland, not so big, but really unique and interesting. And then the Will movie, I noticed they was playing, I think, last night on BBC and Ghosts as well. So they've got a lot of time and love for each other. And I mean, they're a good band of comedy mates. And I hope to see more from them.
Did you see Matthew Bainton turn up in the US one as an actor?
Yes, plays a British actor. He's very funny.
Very funny.
There was a panel with them. There's some clips of that up on the YouTube channel. There was a hilarious panel with Felicia Day, geek goddess that she is, who has appeared in a million different things. Of course, this is all done during the strike, so we couldn't talk about specific projects. It's all talking around stuff. They could talk about Ghosts because of the fact that it's made in the UK. It's not a SAG project. For a lot of Felicia's stuff is, so she couldn't talk about like specific roles on a lot of things, but she did talk a little bit about possibly reviving the Guild, which is her own thing, and that was a YouTube streaming thing, so that she could talk about possibly as a musical. Apparently they're talking about with that. There is also, it's hilarious, the CJ, who is the host for that stage, is a Geordie, and Felicia Day doesn't understand the Geordie accent, or was at least playing that up quite a lot. So there was a lot of comedy insults going backwards and forwards for Felicia not understanding what he was saying. And this has been going on for about 5 years. So there is a video up on YouTube, which I put up, called Felicia Day Does Not Understand Geordie. It's really funny because he quizzes her on Geordie phrases and it's just great. She's like, really, really funny video. That was really good. There was a panel with some of the cast of Our Flag Means Death, including Rhys Darby on that one. Again, it wasn't called Our Flag Means Death panel. McDonald because they weren't allowed to actually talk about the show. So a lot of that stuff was them talking about sort of auditions and Reese's doing stand-up and that sort of thing. So they were talking about other things that they're doing, which wasn't directly Alf Lagmarine's death related, but it was lovely to see those guys. And Critical Role, which, are you aware of Critical Role?
No, tell me more.
So Critical Role, they do have an animated series, which is on Prime Video, but that sort of came after everything else. Critical Role is a live action streamed Dungeons and Dragons game. Made by a group of sort of mates who are voice actors and improv comedians and that sort of thing. One of which is Ashley Johnson, who she appeared on The Killing, the US remake of that. Blindspot as well. She played Patterson on Blindspot, if you remember.
Yeah.
And she's the voice of Ellie in The Last of Us as well on the video game. And she played Ellie's mother on the TV show briefly as well. But Critical Role is massive. And I mean, well, put it this way. There is a 4,500 seat theatre at the XL in London. And the panel was at 11 a.m. It was at capacity by 9 a.m.
Wow.
And they were also live streaming the panel to the other two stages that they have there, which is smaller, and they were both packed. They haven't had to do that since they had the Loki cast there in 2019. That's how big Critical Role is. It's enormous. They have millions and millions of followers. It's incredible that something which is basically a bunch of friends playing Dungeons and Dragons on a live stream is so ridiculously popular, but it is. You can go and find, there's a Critical Role website and they do it in seasons. So each sort of D&D campaign is a season of the show and they play different characters on various different seasons and stuff and they do one shots. They played Wembley recently. That's how big this show is. It's insane how popular Critical Role is. It's very funny. There are clips from that up on the YouTube channel as well. Just had great fun down at MCM. I didn't get as many cosplay photos as I usually get because literally every time I set foot out of the door, it poured with rain. And a lot of the cosplayers usually hang out on the grass outside the front of the XL. And I thought, oh, I've got a bit of time between panels. I'll go and take some photos. And literally the moment I stepped outside, it rained. So not quite as many cosplay photos, but they are up on Instagram and I've done edits of things, and so you can go and check all that out. But I mean, MCM as ever is brilliant and always really good fun, and a lot of people saying, you know, they had a really, really good time particularly at this con. So I'm really looking forward to going back, and they're at Birmingham later on this year in December. Got Wales coming up soon as well, so lots of things going on with Comic Cons as we head towards the end of the year. On the TV side of things, though, Lazarus Project is back for its second season. I have seen the first episode of that. It's great. George is sort of on the outs after the events of season one. Papa Estadu is back as George. It sort of flips the dynamic between him and his girlfriend as well, because... just in case you haven't seen the first season, I won't go into spoilers about that.
Yes. I can't wait to see that, actually. I really enjoyed that in the end I got round to watching that.
Joe Barton did an amazing job with that. I have got a couple of videos going up, interviews with the cast and with Joe. There will be stuff going up on the website about season two. So check that out later on this week. But I saw a version of the first episode. It wasn't entirely finished. There were sort of bits of CG missing and stuff. So I'm looking forward to that landing. Really, really enjoyable. In terms of other stuff, I am watching Solar Opposites, as I mentioned. Invincible started. That's back with its first episode. That was another show which sort of picked up after a really phenomenal first season. And it's been a long time coming, that, but because animation takes a while. So that's been really good. Time, I watched as well, the season two of that. Again, from Jimmy McGovern. It's Jodie Whittaker, Tamara Lawrence, and Bella Ramsey, who plays Elle in the TV show version of The Last of Us, and of course, Game of Thrones. Really great cast in that. Three very different inmates who are the sort of three main leads of it, as well as a really solid supporting cast around it. It's not something to watch, particularly if you've just had young children, if you've got babies around, that there are going to be some potentially quite triggering scenes in there and subject matter. but unbelievably dark. It's interesting you mentioned with The Reckoning as well. BBC had some really depressing shows on recently by the sounds of it. But yeah, it's still just brilliantly written, wonderfully acted. It's nice to see Bella actually playing somebody who is actually her age, because usually up until now she's been playing sort of teenagers, and you know, this is a much more a sort of early 20s character. Great set of leads for it. They bring over one or two maybe of the characters from the first season, but it is a completely sort of separate thing. It is an anthology all set in this women's prison. And it sort of shows the life of these three inmates who are in there for very, very different things and their struggles and how they get on. And it's just a very compelling drama and well, well worth going to check out. But yes, not particularly cheery, that one.
No.
Gen V came to an end for its first season. I thought they did a brilliant job with that. There's a few interesting surprises in that final episode. Few people pop up, as you would probably expect. Lower Decks, also Star Trek Lower Decks, finished its latest season. That's been great. If you sort of rejected that of being a kind of parody show of Star Trek, it very much isn't by this point. It's a genuine Star Trek show that just happens to be animated and leans more on comedy side, but it is very much a Star Trek show and well worth watching. There is character development in it. There are really interesting plot lines. There is an overarching story that runs throughout the whole thing, as well as sort of story of the week things that they're doing each episode. But there is very much a running theme through that as well. It's just been superb, that, and they're doing a wonderful job with Lower Decks. And Billions ended completely as well. I thought they rounded that off really, really nicely. They brought Damian Lewis back for the final season. He's not in every episode of the final season, but it is sort of very much bringing Axe back in as a character. If you've been following that from the start, it is a great, great show. And the sort of almost a sort of Ocean's 11 kind of heist feel to the last season, because there's plotting going on that is sort of mixed behind the scenes, and you don't get all the story until they sort of piece it together in flashback later on. But it's really, really good, and I think they rounded it off really nicely. But you know, I'd be sad to see it go, because I think it's a great cast of people, but they've got a whole bunch of spin-offs that they're potentially working on as well. So I'm going to be interested to see what they come up with and see if they think they can capture that magic with some of the spin-offs. But very, very enjoyable, and they rounded it off nicely. So if you've not started Billions, you can go to the beginning, start from season one, and be happy that there is a definite conclusion to that, and it's a good solid arc that they're running through with that. And the other thing was Loki as well, which is coming up to its final episode. They have actually said recently that that is not going to end on a cliffhanger. It is going to wrap up properly. I think they've been doing a wonderful job. It's been one of the best things in the MCU that they've produced so far, certainly out of this phase. But I mean, admittedly, that's not a particularly high bar, but they've done a really, really good job with Loki. Have you been catching up with that?
I'm only two episodes in. Obviously, with all that was going on with me, and my friend I watch it with has got a young baby, so us finding time together that his wife agrees to is sometimes quite difficult. But we've watched episode one and two, and then when we go and see The Marvels this weekend, I'm sure we're going to then talk about when we're going to see the rest of it. By then, the whole series would be out, so we're just the sort of people that would just do all episodes back to back. We'll finish it together probably that week. So
yes, clear up evening or something and go and just binge through everything, because there's any like six episodes in it, but they've done a wonderful job with it. So I'm really, really enjoying that season. The casting's been great. There's some interesting things that they're doing, messing around with the timelines, and I do wonder what it's going to mean for the wider MCU moving forward. So we'll see how it goes, but hopefully they managed to land it well. But that's been a great series as well. That's all the stuff we have been watching over the past couple of weeks. Let's move on to some TV and film news.
Wow.
Nice.
Yeah.
What you're hearing are the sounds of people everywhere putting on Bombas socks, underwear, and t-shirts made from absurdly soft materials that feel like plush clouds. Yeah. Yeah. That plush. And the best part? For every item you purchase, Bombas donates another to someone facing homelessness.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST. Code ACAST.
So we kick off the TV and film news with renewals, cancellations and pickups. Quite a few cancellations because we were off for a couple of weeks. So Rabbit Hole has been cancelled by Paramount Plus, which was the Kiefer Sutherland series, which I'm very annoyed about because I really, really liked what they did with the first season of that. I thought it was really good and they've decided they're not bringing that back. Also, the TV series of Fatal Attraction, they have decided they're not bringing back as well, which I didn't watch. But Rabbit Hole, I'm upset about.
Don't think it's strike related, do you, Dave?
Hard to say at this point. It didn't seem like it was strike related, this, but who knows? Some of these have been, some of these haven't been with the cancellations. It's a shame. But Rabbit Hole and Fatal Attraction gone at Paramount Plus. Joe Pickett also has been cancelled after two seasons at Paramount Plus as well. So that's also gone. Letterkenny, which I think does run somewhere over here, but that is going to be ending on Hulu after 12 seasons, so that will be coming to an end. Well Mania has been cancelled after one season by Netflix, so that's gone. Superman and Lois is coming to an end with its fourth season. We haven't even had the third season, I don't think, over in the UK yet, but CW have decided it's not coming back after four seasons. To be honest, I think that's probably the right thing to do for multiple reasons, because
the end of an era for the CW, isn't it?
Well, it is, yeah. I mean, it's the last of the Berlantiverse Arrowverse adjacent shows. I mean, Flash was really the last Arrowverse show because they sort of sat outside that. But it's the last Berlantiverse superhero show. And given that most of those Berlantiverse shows have kind of, the quality drops off a cliff after four seasons, that's probably not a bad thing that it goes out at season four. Also, of course, they are introducing the James Gunn new DC universe. They've got a new Superman coming in that, and maybe they don't want two Supermen around at the same time. I'm not totally shocked that that is going, but I think they did a good job with that show. It was, you know, the quality was generally up there. Certainly it was higher quality than that god awful last season of The Flash. So
did you see the Grant Gustin news, by the way?
Yes, he's
lead in Broadway show.
Yes, he's the lead in a Broadway show, which is awesome news. So I'm really happy for Grant that he's going to be doing that. And it's a musical, isn't it? I think he's doing, actually.
Yeah, Water for Elephants, which I think was a Andrew Garfield film many years ago, I'm sure. Yeah.
Okay, yeah, so well, I can see that working. That sort of fits in that mold, so that's good. I'm glad Grant's getting back to the stage and doing musical stuff, because, you know, that's sort of where he started his TV career as well, wasn't it?
Exactly, yeah.
Glee. So.
Glee.
Chapelwaite, which was renewed for a second season, is now no longer renewed for a second season. They've decided that they're reversing that decision. So that, I think, probably was partly strike related, because it was delayed and delayed and delayed. And they've decided they're now not bringing that back. So Chapelwaite is ended after one season. And there is an entire streaming service going, which is Lionsgate Plus. That is going to close in the UK. Stars and Stars Play, which is the streaming service in the US, are still running, but they've pulled out of a bunch of international markets, and the UK being one. I mean, the main thing we lose is Outlander. However, I do suspect they may just sell that back to Amazon, who are the people that they were outbid for, because it's a Sony-made show, I think. And I think the only reason Lionsgate Plus had it in the first place was because they outbid Amazon for it. And given that Amazon were the second highest bidder and they ran it originally, I do wonder whether it'll all just end up getting pushed back onto Amazon now, which will probably make quite a lot of people happy, because it means that they get it as part of their Amazon subscription without paying an extra £5 a month. There is also the Power Books, whatever, series 3, 4 and 5 and a million. I don't know what they're doing with that. And things like The Great as well. They had a number of other things on there, like the Stephen Amell Heels, but that's been canned after two seasons. And it didn't look like they were going to run the second season of it. They had a few other bits and pieces, but they'd kind of not been picking up the subsequent seasons of a lot of shows, which should really have been a sign that there was something wrong there. So with the exception of Outlander, I don't think we're missing a huge amount from it. And I suspect a lot of those bigger things may end up somewhere else. Like, I think Power originally ran on Netflix, the original show over here. So I do wonder whether Netflix might sort of order a job lot of the various books and pull them onto that. So hopefully some of the shows will get sold to other places. It's not closing its doors until some point in 2024. So it's still going to be running for a bit longer, apparently. Did you ever look at Lionsgate Plus? I mean, I've got...
I actually had a subscription, but I had cancelled it when I heard this news. I'd got it for the great... I think I got it in like late September, and then I never got around to watching it. And so then I've just cancelled because I thought, actually, I'm probably not going to. It's a really busy couple of months for me. So I know The Great was originally went out on More 4. So I don't know, More 4 might pick it up in the future.
Well, actually, the later seasons of The Great are already going out on terrestrial TV anyway. And that's another show that's come to an end. They premiered it on Lionsgate Plus, but it had a second run on Channel 4 or More 4. I suspect that will still happen for anything that had a second run. And there was a number of other shows that they had which had already had second terrestrial runs, so I suspect that will just carry on. It just means that Lionsgate won't be premiering them earlier. We'll see what happens, but the shows that were popular, I think, will still end up popping up in other places. First sort of big or bigger streaming service to go, but you know, saves you some money. So as long as the shows end up somewhere else, you're not losing anything. Yeah. In terms of renewals, Sweet Magnolia is renewed for a fourth season by Netflix, so that will be coming back. Futurama renewed for two more seasons by Hulu. We've actually got one season still to come, so that's renewed up to season 14 now. We've only had season 11, so season 12 will be the next one, and then it's renewed for 13 and 14. Lots more Futurama to come, and that's on Hulu and Disney Plus. The Bear has also been renewed for a third season. That's on Hulu in the US and Disney Plus over here. You watched that, didn't you?
I do, yes.
The Traitors renewed for a third season before the launch of season two, which is coming soon, apparently. They haven't actually given a date yet. I thought you'd be happy about that.
Yeah. So last year it was released like November the 29th, because you remember I said I could talk about it in context of the year end, because it did technically air the very last week of November.
Yeah.
So I imagine that's where it might come again this year.
Yes. So that's good news. Gen V renewed for a second season, which I think comes as no surprise to anybody. The first season has gone down stormingly well, so that's great. Good Omens, whilst not officially renewed for a third season, it looks like everything is lining up for a third season of Good Omens. Obviously, you've got to get the Diaries of David Tennant and Michael Sheen lined up as well. So when that will land and, you know, when they will officially announce that, I don't know. Doug McKinnon, who was the co-showrunner on the first couple of seasons, is apparently not returning. I don't know whether he's tied up on other projects or what, but he did say that he wasn't returning for a third season. They need to make a third season, because given where the second season ends, not in the best place, it was lining things up for a third season. So it seems like everybody's on board with wanting to do it. They just need official green light from Amazon for it to happen. It sounds like that is in the works, but they haven't officially announced it yet. Pickups and other news. Due to the strikes, there are things being moved around. So White Lotus Season 3 and Welcome to Derry, which is a Stephen King It spin-off prequel thing, I think. Both of those have been pushed to 2025, apparently. So they're going to be way off. The Batman TV series The Penguin, which stars Colin Farrell, that has been pushed from... It was originally supposed to be spring 2024. That's now moved to late 2024, so that's been pushed back. Game of Thrones House of the Dragon, that's still on schedule for early summer 2024. That sort of falls outside of the strike stuff anyway, so it's no great surprise that that's still on schedule, because even though it's a HBO show, it's all shot in Ireland, and a lot of the cast are working under Equity as opposed to working under SAG. And it wasn't affected by the writer's strike, because all the scripts had been approved prior to them to starting shooting. So they actually weren't as affected by the strike as everybody else was. That is good news, and that will still land in early summer 2024. Last of Us Season 2 will be filmed in 2024 and air in 2025, which is not unsurprising. I think we expected a two-year gap between the first season and the second season of that, so no great shock with that. Nautilus, which is an interesting one, because that was a show that was made originally for Disney Plus UK. They then decided that they weren't going to actually air it. It was one of those that they wrote off, even though it had already been filmed. So they had this completed TV series, and it's based on Jules Verne's 20,000 Leagues Under the Sea. Stars Shadid Latif, who you'll know from from Star Trek Discovery. They basically had this show and they needed to sell it to somebody else. AMC in the US have picked it up. So still don't know where it will land in the UK. It's got that Saturday night BBC kind of filling the Doctor Who slot once Doctor Who's finished airing its season. It feels like it should fit that slot quite nicely. Whether the BBC decide to step in and pick it up, possibly for the UK, I don't know, because they have done that with a number of shows which AMC air. It is made by an outside company, but we'll see. But at least it's got a US broadcaster, which, you know, implies that at least somebody might pick it up in the UK, which is good news. Sky Witness have picked up the rights to Fire Country, which is the Max Thierot from SEAL Team series. It's the reason that Max Thierot is no longer on SEAL Team, because he was sort of juggling filming the last season of SEAL Team and Fire Country at the same time, and Fire Country is his show. He's an exec producer on it. He co-created it. That will now premiere in 2024 in the UK. There is a second season of that coming as well.
Is that the convicts play being firemen?
Yes,
that's the one, yeah.
It's a system that they have that gets to reduce their sentence by going and fighting wildfires in California. And it's inspired by Max's sort of growing up in Fire Country, where things tend to spontaneously combust in California, the sort of scrubland and stuff and forests and things. It's been one that we've been keeping an eye on, but they've officially confirmed that that is going to be coming onto Sky Witness in 2024, which is good news. There was an update on some of the Yellowstone stuff. If you're a fan of Yellowstone, they've bumped the final part of season 5, which is the final season of the main Yellowstone show. They've bumped that 12 months because it was supposed to be airing now-ish. They've actually bumped it to November 2024. That is strike related. That's why they've moved that. They've also announced that they are doing the continuation series, which is basically going to be a lot of the cast from the main Yellowstone series, but not Kevin Costner, because the reason they ended the main show was because Kevin Costner and the creator of Yellowstone are, by the sounds of it, no longer on speaking terms. So they decided that they would move forward and take a lot of the cast. And the rumor is that Matthew McConaughey will step into the leading role of the show, although that, again, isn't officially confirmed yet. They've also announced another prequel series because, you know, they've got a whole bunch of these prequels. Yeah, no. So there is another prequel, which is going to be called 1944. That will all be landing either sort of late 2024, obviously November 2024 for the main Yellowstone conclusion, then late 2024, early 2025 for the other two shows as well. If you're a Yellowstone fan, there's a lot of stuff out there. Have you looked at any of that? Because it's one that has completely bypassed me.
Yeah, bypassed me. I nearly got interested in the Helen Mirren one, but then yes. I was like, no, I just, my sister who lives in America is in love with it, and it's such a huge show over there. Yeah. So she came over and went, oh, you've been watching it. And I'm like, no, I've heard loads about it. It's just completely bypassed me. But yeah, she raves about it.
Yes, it is all coming. It's just all being delayed. And that a lot of that is strike related. Echo, the TV series, the Marvel TV series, that has now got a premiere date, which is the 10th of January 2024. Interestingly, they're releasing it under a new banner, which they're calling Marvel Spotlight. And it's a label that they're going to start using as a sort of subcategory of Marvel things, which are titles that they say present a wider variety of stories which don't require as much prior knowledge of the MCU. So they're trying to sort of use them as on-ramps for people that are trying to get into the MCU without having to watch a billion movies. It's an odd one to do that with, given that Echo has already been in some other stuff. She showed up in the Hawkeye series and she is sort of integrated into the MCU, and you've got Kingpin in there who was also in the Daredevil series. So, yeah. Okay, fine. They're doing it under Marvel Spotlight. It is supposed to be a limited series, I think, that. So there isn't, don't expect a second season of it. The Marvel Spotlight brand is based off the Marvel Spotlight comics, which was an anthology set of comics, which had basically the same idea, ran in the 70s and 80s, and it was a way of introducing new characters, which then were sort of integrated a bit more into the main Marvel timeline. We'll see how that goes, but there is a trailer up for that now. And the other interesting thing with that show is it is the first mature rated one that they've released. So if you're worried about things like Daredevil not being as violent as it was on the Netflix shows, given what they showed in the Echo trailer, I don't think that's going to be an issue moving forward. because I mean there are some pretty violent bits in that trailer. So they are prepared to be sort of branching out in that. I mean, that may be another reason why they even the Spotlight brand as well. So they've got a sort of slightly separate brand that isn't as suitable for children possibly as well. I don't know, but it does look like an interesting show though. Also on Marvel, there's news that the season two of the What If animated series, that's coming at some point over the holiday season, but they haven't given an exact date for that yet. So
that feels like it's a bit out of nowhere. We've been waiting for it for so long, and then they're just going to drop it out of nowhere.
Yes, because it was supposed to be earlier on this year, and then it got moved back, and then it got moved back, and then going back again. And yeah, now they've sort of said it's going to be at some point over the holiday period, apparently. Speaking of Marvel and Disney and stuff, you may have seen some stories about Disney buying Hulu. Just wanted to clarify a few things about that, because people were like going, oh my God, this is terrible, Disney buying Hulu. Disney have had control of Hulu for years. All they're doing is they're buying the shares that Comcast had in Hulu. Comcast had no creative control over Hulu and haven't for years. They were effectively a silent partner. Disney at some point had the option to buy out the rest of the shares. That option has now come up and they're buying the rest of the shares. It's purely a business thing. Nothing will change, basically, because they just carry on running it as they've been running it. Ultimately, it means that they'll just be making more money out of Hulu, you know, but basically it. The other announcement, which had Wells been off, is Doctor Who has got its return date for the David Tennant 60th anniversary specials, Saturday the 25th of November, that will land. And also the Hooniverse, which is what they're now branding it, has landed on iPlayer, which is a huge array of classic era Doctor Who, as well as all the new Who stuff. One of the other things that came out of that actually is they said that Shooty's season will be branded season one.
Seen that. A controversy, Dave.
Yes. So what essentially they're saying is that the new Who era that started with Chris Eccleston ended with Jodie Whittaker. So this will be a new thing. This sort of new Russell T Davies launch of Doctor Who will be, you know, it's marking it as season one, a new thing, which I kind of get why they're going down that route. I mean, arguably, I guess, I don't know whether the 60th anniversaries fall into the old one or the new one, or just bridging the gap or something. I don't know where they're placing those, but the Shooty series will be season one, apparently. I'm looking forward to this, you know, and I think it will be quite a good on-ramp for people. And I think that's the sort of point, is, you know, to get people back into Who that maybe have fallen away from it because it kind of got very convoluted and all over the place over the last couple of New Who seasons across Chris Chibnall's run and some of Moffat's run, if we're being honest. But I'm looking forward to getting back into this. Where are you with Doctor Who these days?
I was watching Jodie's and then I just got lost in the episodes, and I'd always meant to go back. I think I'm technically on New Year's Day 2019, possibly.
Right.
Or something, or 2020. I'm somewhere around there and I never went back. And then in my mind, I'm like, oh, I'm going to binge, finish the Jodie era and be all ready for it. But I have not got the capacity to fit that in before it comes. Even though it's all there, I know I can get it by the click of a button. I just don't have the capacity. So I am potentially going to be one of those people who ramp back in with these birthday episodes that are coming up and then into Shooty. So that's my plan now.
Yeah, I think he's expecting a lot of people to maybe do that. And I mean, I feel a bit sorry for Jodie because she got kind of screwed over by the storylines. She, as the Doctor, was great. It's just the plots weren't particularly good. You know, I would hope that maybe she does some Big Finish stuff and, you know, she gets a chance to expand and play around with that character a little bit more moving forward. Maybe they'll bring her in for a sort of multiple Doctor episode or something, or, you know, particularly would like to see her having written by Russell T Davies. I think that would be an interesting one as well. But yeah, if you want to go and catch a lot of old Who, there is a lot of stuff up on there. They've also, as a way of getting people into those old Who episodes, they've recorded some new intro little bits that are called Tales from the TARDIS that takes classic runs of the original classic era and has the old Doctors like Peter Davison and Colin Baker and Sylvester McCoy come back and have done sort of new intro things into them in character with them sat with whoever their primary companion was at the time, and their little sort of 5 minute intros. So you can just go and watch the intros and not watch the rest of it. Like I think the Peter Davison one is Earthshock, which is a classic era story. They'd be really interesting to kind of go and look at. The one thing you don't have is the original first episodes, because the son of the writer of those first episodes has decided he didn't want to sell the rights to the BBC for reasons. basically, which I'm not going to get into, but he's being a bit pig-headed about it and just basically said that he won't sell the rights to the BBC. So the initial episodes aren't on there, unfortunately. You can go and find them in other places, and I'm sure people will locate them if they want to. But yeah, it's a shame that that isn't in there. So moving on to other things, a little bit of a Striker update as well. At time of recording, we're recording this on Monday night. This may have changed by the time this episode goes out on Tuesday, but SAG are currently reviewing what the Hollywood studios have called their last, best and final offer. That phrasing has thrown up a lot of controversy. It's legal language that they have used. They did the same with the Writers Guild. And of course it isn't. That is what they're calling it. And it's basically saying this is the last offer of these round of negotiations. It comes across like a bullying tactic, which it kind of is, which is no great surprise because it's the Hollywood studios and that's kind of what they've been like throughout this whole thing. It's just not a great look. And it's rubbish as well, because if SAG come back having looked at this offer and go, it's still rubbish, they're going to have to renegotiate. So it's kind of pointless that they put it in that sort of language, but they did. So that's all it is. It's just stupid idiocy from the Hollywood studios as usual. What they've said about the package that they've put forward, and this is bearing in mind this is from the studio side, said this is the full package, forward looking and fair. CEOs told them that this was a historic package for the guild, including strong AI protections. None of this means anything until we hear what SAG, who are looking at it at the moment, come back and say about it. I mean, you know, because if they come back and say this is rubbish and it's still not close enough to what we need, it will go back into negotiation again.
Yeah, you know, too right.
At the moment, SAG are looking at it. That's all we can say right now. Hopefully, it has everything that SAG need out of it, and it's something that they can put to their members, because I think everybody wants this strike to come to an end, but they can't do it unless it's got the protections that they need. And they've held out for this long. There's no reason for them to cave at this point. We'll have to wait and see what they say. Like I say, we're recording this on Monday night. By Tuesday, they may have come back and said something more. I hope it's a positive thing, but if SAG come back and say it's not good enough, it's not good enough. So we'll wait and see. There were a couple of other little news stories as well. Prison Break. Do you remember that TV show?
I do remember Prison Break, yes.
There may be a new version of it on the way from Elgin James, who was the co-creator of Mayans MC, along with Kurt Sutter, who made Sons of Anarchy. Elgin was the main boss of it because Kurt sort of got it going, but then left it. I think this is kind of interesting. It will be a completely new chapter, so would likely be entirely focused on a new cast, although it would be sat in the same world, so you could potentially bring other people over. It just wouldn't be Dominic Purcell and Wentworth Miller as the leads in it, which I think is fair enough, because the series that they ran in 2017, that sort of comeback series, kind of wrapped the stories pretty well. So I think to then throw another Prison Break onto those guys would be a bit odd. So it would be nice to see them maybe pop up in some way in this show. But it's not going to be focused on those characters. It is going to be focused on an entirely new cast. This, at the moment, is in development. It's not necessarily coming. It may land, it may not. It's being developed for Hulu because Elgin is under a deal with 20th Television, which are part of Disney, which are part of Hulu, as we were explaining earlier. The other thing he wrote was he co-wrote Outlaws as well with Stephen Merchant. That's the other show that he's known for. Decent person behind it. And And it's also got the creator of Prison Break exec producing it as well, and some of the other original exec producers as part of it. So as I say, it's in early development. I think it's something you could maybe make a show out of, possibly. I'd make quite a good anthology series, possibly, a sort of different Prison Breaks. I mean, it'd be a different sort of thing, because the hook always was the thing about, you know, Michael breaking Lincoln out using tattoos on his body, but you'd have to find a different hook for it. But I think a show about Prison Breaks or varying types might be an interesting thing moving forward.
Possibly, yeah.
I'd never watched it again. It was one of those ones I always wanted to watch, and by the time I was ready to watch it, it was coming to an end. But I'm just wondering, like, are they genuinely running out of ideas over there? Are they just going to back catalogues and thinking, what else can we exhaust in the back catalogues? I'm just worried about the creativity stream is drying up.
But it's brand recognition, isn't it? To a certain extent. Yeah. I mean, it's picking up brand recognition. And if you can find an interesting story that works and isn't just a rehash of the old thing, and it's not somebody else covered in tattoos, there is possibly an interesting thing that you could use that branding for, about sort of people breaking out of prison and going on the run. I think there is something in there. It may go nowhere. It may go somewhere. It is in development for Hulu at the moment. And back over on Disney as well, Daredevil, the Daredevil Born Again series has had a bit of a turbulent time, because it started shooting, then the strike happened, so it stopped shooting. The top brass at Marvel HQ, including Kevin Feige, took a look at what had been shot and went, no. We don't like this. It was Chris Ord and Matt Corman. The biggest thing they'd done was Covert Affairs. They were the head writers on it. They've basically got fired, although they are staying on as exec producers. They've now found the replacements for it, which seem like a much better fit. What they've replaced them with is Dario Scarpane, who was a writer on the Punisher series, which is part of that sort of Netflix Marvel universe, which is great. He also was consulting producer on Jack Ryan and wrote several episodes of that as well. So that's a much more sort of street level, action driven, hard edged person to take control of it. Whereas, I mean, we don't exactly know what put them off when the Marvel brass looked at the original version, but it was apparently a bit procedurally. And Matt Murdock not showing up in costume until the fourth episode. And you can see why they looked at it and went, yeah, this isn't what we want. So given that they are seemingly prepared to go for a slightly harder edge with Echo, I think bringing in somebody that wrote on The Punisher and Jack Ryan seems like a better way to go with this, and maybe having Daredevil a bit more closer to the Netflix version that we had previously. They've also brought in Justin Benson and Aaron Moorhead, who are the directing duo that worked on Loki season 2, which, as I said earlier, has been brilliant. They also directed Moonlight, which is wonderfully strange. So that's an interesting kind of angle you've got in there, because you've got the directors of two of the oddest of the MCU series coming in directing this as well. So, I mean, it's an interesting set of directors. I think that's a really good pick for a writer. We'll see where it goes. We've no idea when this is going to land. All we know at the moment, really, is that it's going to have Charlie Cox as Daredevil and Vincent D'Onofrio back as Kingpin. And that's about it, really. And that's going to be the new writer and directors of it. So I enjoyed the original series. I hope this one works.
Daredevil, I was very impressed by the first two seasons, but I didn't continue it through with all the Defenders and such. But I've always liked Charlie Cox's version of Daredevil, considering my other reference point is Ben Affleck.
Well, yes.
No, I'm really kind of hoping that it does come through. It's sad that it's going back to the drawing board, but then in another breath, I'm glad it's going back to the drawing board, because, you know, I'd be one of the first ones to switch off if it wasn't as impactful as maybe the first two seasons we had on Netflix. I'd be a bit like, yeah, this is not what I was expecting, and off it would go. So if it's the right thing for Marvel, it is the right thing. And so I think they've got to do that, because they're on very shaky ground at the moment with some of their content not hitting the mark. And even what I said earlier, like, there's been rumors that the Marvel's not going to be the greatest film, but like, they're following the Avengers, they're following one of their best movies of all time. Of course, not a lot is going to live up to it, but they're also suffering from exhaustion. People are a bit exhausted with the cinematic universe and just want to take a rest from it. Not saying that it's bad, they just don't feel like they have to rush out and get it, and they'll pick it up later on streaming, or they'll catch up with it at another time. So I think if this is for right for the whole sort of journey of where they're going, I think it'll be fine.
Yeah, and I mean, I think that has been a problem with the MCU through Phase 4 and Phase 5. You know, the first three phases have definitive points. You know, Phase 1 was building the Avengers, and Phase 2 was expansion of the sort of Infinity Stone stuff and the growth of kind of Thanos through that. And then you knew that Phase 3 was going to end with Infinity War thing. And Phase 4 just was a mess. And you can't really say where Phase 4 ends. I mean, technically it was with Wakanda Forever, I think. But that didn't really have a tie into anything else. It was just a movie. You know, and it was a perfectly reasonable movie, but it didn't have that sort of, we're starting here and this is our end point. Then the next phase starts here and this is our end. You know, there's no structure to it. It's just like throwing mud at the wall and seeing what sticks. And I think that's been the problem. It needs somebody to actually take proper control of it. I don't know whether Kevin Feige's just taking his eye off the ball, but it needed somebody to actually sort of fit a structure into that, and it's not there at the moment. There seem to be some moving things around, and this seems to be part of that, hopefully. So we'll see where it goes, but at least they've actually picked some interesting writers and directors for it. So hopefully, we don't know when Daredevil Born Again is going to show up, but at least they've got the new writers and directors in place. That's all the news for this week. Just some highlights for next week on TV. So, highlights for next week. We have The Southwesterlies. That is coming on the 8th of November to UK TV Play, which is a charming Irish dramedy about an environmentalist consultant who goes undercover in a small town to quell objections to a wind farm, apparently. That will be dropping on UK TV Play. You can go check that there. Culprits, which is something that Disney Plus have been pushing quite a lot. It's executive produced by Stephen Garrett, who worked on The Night Manager and The Undoing. It's a dark, funny heist series that sort of follows people after the heist is complete, and somebody's trying to knock off the people that did the heist, apparently. But that looks like it could be quite interesting. Disney Plus on the 8th of November for that one. The Santa Clauses is back for a second season. That's the Tim Allen series. That starts on the 8th of November as well. We are heading into Christmas. Newsreader back for a second season. That's on the 9th of November at 9 p.m. on BBC Two. That's the Australian drama set in a commercial newsroom in the 80s. So that returns. Last Leg is back for its 29th season. That's on the 10th of November at 10 p.m. That will see the topical comedy show back. For All Mankind returns for season 4. That is on the 10th of November on Apple TV. That's a brilliant, brilliant show. I'm very much looking forward to that coming back. NCIS Sydney, that lands on Paramount Plus on the 10th of November as well. So it's NCIS, but set in Sydney. And Murder at the End of the World, which is a limited series, follows an amateur sleuth played by Emma Corrin. She attempts to solve the murder at his secluded retreat. Looks kind of interesting. It popped up earlier and then kind of got bumped and then bumped again. But 14th of November on Disney Plus for Murder at the End of the World. Anything interesting in there?
Yes. So my list from there, I want to see Culprits. The Last Leg, obviously, that's going to go back up to my watch list. And Murder at the End of the World are my three that I would like to have a look at from that list.
Yes. You need to do a For All Mankind as well when you've got your Apple subscription back up.
Oh, yes. Back in December, I'm going to get that for Slow Horses. That's when I'm going to go back to Apple. So
go and catch up on For All Mankind as well, because that's great, great show. If people want to speak to you throughout the week, where can they find you?
They can find me on X at Grey the Geek, or they can find me on Instagram at Grey Panton, over on Blue Sky as well. Not much going on at the moment, I'm sorry, fans. I'm just extremely busy. If you scroll back, you will see my engagement picture as well. So if you want to catch up on my news. But other than that, I might go back on it
a little bit more closer to Christmas. So
yes, so go and check Grey out over there. Other people involved in the show, you can find Bex at twitch.tv/TristaBytes. She's streaming every week. She's doing various streams for Samaritans at the moment. So go over there, go and donate some money, support Samaritans, which is a wonderful, wonderful charity, particularly needed this time of year. So go and check Bex out over there and you'll have some laughs, and she's got some great content going up on there. She's playing games and just chatting and painting herself as various hideous, hideous creatures. It's really fun. So go and check Bex out on twitch.tv/TristaBytes. Matt, you can find over on entertainmenttalk.org for all the latest podcasts over there. And Daryl, you can find at hollywoodnorthnews.net for all the TV series that you love, which are shot in Canada. For Rush, you can visit the website at geektown.co.uk throughout the week and see all the latest air date information. If you want to get in touch with your questions or comments, email us on podcast@geektown.co.uk. Leave a message on the website post. Find us at Geektown on Twitter, X. Find us on Facebook at facebook.com/geektown, on YouTube at youtube.com/geektown, on Blue Sky at Geektown, on Instagram at Geektown UK, on TikTok at Geektown UK, and on Threads at Geektown UK. And yeah, go and check out. There's lots of videos going up on YouTube over this week as well. So go and check those out there. That is everything. We shall see you next week. Bye bye.
Bye bye.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.